Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Ryans. And before we get started with this episode, I want to let you know about something that Old Time Radio Westerns is doing. We currently broadcast live every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Old Time Radio Westerns that you can actually listen to nonstop. The best part about it is you can actually request tracks. That's right, tracks. When I say tracks, it's episodes from different shows. We've got over 1,000 different episodes. I want you to come check it out, otrwesterns.com/live, or just go to otrwesterns.com and look on the right-hand side. There's a request link. Click that, and boom, you can start requesting tracks. Listen while you're working, whatever you're doing. It's beautiful. Again, otrwesterns.com, and look for the live link. Let's get into today's episode. It's going to be Challenge of the Yukon, and I hope you enjoy.
Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, the Challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King, on Husky!
Gold, gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. Bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog Yukon King as they meet the Challenge of the Yukon. Dawson City was teeming with gold seekers, many of whom sought to get gold by taking it from those who had laboriously worked their claims to get it. One of the former type was a much-feared leader of a small group of bandits, Frank Marlowe. Marlowe and his gang were ruthless and struck wherever they were certain of getting plenty of gold.
Hey, look, it's Frank Marlowe.
He's got his gang with him.
This is a holdup. What each all of you? Line up by the wall. Don't let them get away with this. You asked for this, mister. Hey, that shows you we mean business. All right, men, get their gold. Make it quick.
Prospectors bringing in their take from claims along the El Dorado were not safe from Marlowe even in broad daylight.
Mash! Mash, you huskies!
All right, mister. Hand over your desk and be quick about it.
You must be Frank Marlowe. You won't get away with this.
I said hand over your gold.
I won't do it.
Well, guess we have to get rough and take it, huh? Let him have it, Joe.
No, you don't. No.
Men were not safe in their own cabins.
Somebody coming, Ed.
Yeah. Guess they're just in time for some hot grub.
I'll see who it is.
All right, out of the way. Come on, man.
Hey, you can't.
Get out.
No. What the? You must be Marlowe.
Right. We come for the gold you took from your claim the past week. Get it?
Sure. Here it is, Marlowe. That's all of it, honest.
You better be. Now get your partner out to your dog sled and be in your way.
Set fire to the cabin, men. That'll teach others we mean business.
It was a few days later when Inspector Martin of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police greeted Sergeant Preston as he entered the inspector's headquarters at Selkirk.
Good morning, Inspector.
Ah, hello, Sergeant. You made good time getting here from Whitehorse.
Yes, King and I came to Selkirk as soon as I got your message. I knew it must be something important.
It is. Sit down, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
I'll get right to the point. A gang headed by a man named Frank Marlowe has been terrorizing the prospectors around Dawson.
I've heard of Marlowe.
Marlowe and his bunch have openly and brazenly killed and robbed time after time during the past few weeks. They have to be stopped. And I want you and King to see that they are. I'll send a couple of men along with you.
Why, we'd rather try it alone, Inspector. If we need help, we'll call on Constable Miller in Dawson.
All right. Just as you say. But one way or another, I want Frank Marlowe.
We'll do our best, sir.
He's a killer, Sergeant. Mean and ruthless. He won't hesitate to shoot a mounted policeman any more than he would anyone else.
I see, sir. King and I will leave right away for Dawson.
Good. And good luck to both of you. Something tells me you're going to need it.
Sergeant Preston left Selkirk, and traveling with his dog sled along the ice-covered Yukon River, he and King made record time in their run to Dawson City. Upon his arrival, he went to the office of Dawson's small but growing newspaper, the Klondike Nugget, and talked to the editor.
You mean to say that the Royal Northwest Mounted Police Headquarters has sent only one man to hunt down Frank Marlowe and his gang?
I have my dog King with me.
Well, I have to admit, I've heard a lot about you and that dog of yours, Sergeant. But I'm afraid you've taken on more than you can chew. If you think you and King can get Marlowe and his gang of cutthroats?
Maybe we have, but we'll make a try at it anyway.
Well, here's some news clippings about the holdups and killings by Marlowe and his gang.
Thanks. I'll look them over and get an idea of how the gang works.
And if there's any more I can do, just let me know, Sergeant. It'll be a big day around here when Frank Marlowe is caught.
Thanks. Maybe I'll need your help later. Come along, King.
Sergeant Preston went to the cabin he and King were sharing with another officer, Constable Roy Miller. The two men checked over the copies of the newspaper carefully. Then Sergeant Preston made an observation.
Roy, I noticed something that may be of help to us.
What's that, Sergeant?
Well, for instance, look here. This news item says, the Imperial Cafe has done landslide business the last few days since the boat from St. Michael arrived.
That issue came out several weeks ago.
Yes. It was about that time that Marlowe and his gang raided that cafe.
Say, that's right.
And there's an item in this issue. It tells about two prospectors making a gold strike at claim 23 on El Dorado. A couple of days later, they were held up by Marlowe and their cabin burned.
In other words, Marlowe watches the newspaper for items like that. Then he and the gang strike.
That's right, Roy. I wondered how he always seemed to strike, or he was sure to get gold.
I began to think he had a spy or two around Dawson to tip him off.
That's possible, too.
We've tried every way to track him down, but we haven't been successful. That's why we sent to Selkirk and asked for you and King.
We'll do our best to find Marlowe.
They're smart, Sergeant. They always travel on well-beaten trails so that we haven't been able to track them.
That's where I hope King will come in handy. If King once gets the scent of Marlowe, one of his men, the rest would be fairly easy. That is, King could follow their trail to their hideout.
Oh, maybe so. But unless you knew ahead of time where they'd strike and had King there to catch the scent, there's no way he could do it.
I've done a bit of thinking, Roy. Perhaps we can fix things so that Marlowe will hit at a certain place that we do know about.
How would you do that?
Through the newspaper. The editor will cooperate with us, I know. I'll go over there now and arrange things. Come on, King. I'll see you later, Roy. Tell you all about it.
Meantime, in a cabin on a deserted claim on Beaver Creek, Frank Marlowe and two of his men were playing cards. And the door opened and the other member of the gang entered.
Well, hi, Joe. Get any news from town?
Yeah, I got news, all right. It isn't good, Frank.
What do you mean?
You ever hear of Sergeant Preston and his dog,
sure,
King?
Sure, who hasn't? The last time I heard, he was in Whitehorse.
Well, he isn't there now. He's in Dawson City, and he's got the dog with him. He come here just to get us.
That isn't so good, Frank. I've heard about that Mountie and his dog.
Yeah, so have I. You know, maybe it's time we got out of this neck of the woods, Frank.
Are you crazy, Lou? What if you have heard some of the yarns they tell about Mountie and his dog? The old sourdoughs up here in the Yukon tell lots of stories just to pass the time.
Sure, Frank, but even you and I have heard about that Mountie Preston.
All right, so we've heard about him. How him and that dog go around tracking down crooks others can't catch. But we're smarter than most.
If we're really smart, we won't pull any more jobs while that Mountie and dog are in Dawson City.
Why, you want your share of everything, but you don't want to take the risks, huh? I'm not going to let Preston or any other Mountie run me out of here with so much gold lying around just for the taking.
Bring a newspaper, Joe?
Yeah, here.
Look at that headline. The Klondike Nugget sure lambasting the gold commissioner's office for the way they handle claims, huh? Here's something.
What? Another strike?
Listen. Chicharco makes strike in Medanza Creek.
Newcomer, huh?
Yeah, listen. Says Les Breen, who staked a claim on Bonanza just 2 weeks ago, reports the claim is beginning to pay off well and expects to bring in plenty of raw gold by the end of this weekend. Breen's claim is number 42.
A lucky bum.
Yeah, lucky for us, you mean?
You mean we're going after Breen's gold with that Mountie in town?
Why not? 42 claim on Bonanza is about 20 miles up the creek from town. We won't even have to go through Dawson City. Just take the cross trail from here. We'll go after Breen's goal on Saturday, the day he'd start into Dawson with his weekly take, huh? According to what the paper says, we'll get a nice pile of gold in spite of Sergeant Preston, that dog of his.
The following day, Sergeant Preston, with King leading the dog team, moved along the well-beaten trail of Bonanza Creek, accompanied by Constable Roy Miller.
On, King. On, your huskies.
We'll soon be at Claim 42, Sergeant.
What sort of a chap is Les Breen, Roy?
He's an old sourdough I met in Whitehorse a few months ago. He'd be insulted if he read that item saying he's a chichaco.
Oh?
And mighty surprised to read that he'd made a strike.
We'll explain when we see him. Are you sure he'll cooperate with us?
Sure. He and I are good friends. He'll do what he can to help us. Well, that's the cabin just ahead.
Good. Hope things work out as we planned. Oh, King. Hiya, Huskies. Hello. Come on, King. We're going inside.
Hi there, Constable. Oh, say, I see you brought another mounty with you.
Les, this is Sergeant Preston.
Glad to meet you, Les.
Howdy. Say, there's a mighty fine dog you got there, Sergeant.
Thanks. That's King.
Come in out of the cold. What brings you out this way, Constable?
I'll let Sergeant Preston explain, Les. We want you to help us catch Marlowe and his gang.
Marlowe and his gang, you say?
That's right. We took the liberty of putting an item in the Dawson papers saying that Les Breen, a chichaco, had made a strike here at Claim 42.
Me, a chichaco? Why, I've been working claims in the Yukon Territory.
Yeah, we know, Les. But it's more usual for the paper to make a front page item about a chichaco making a strike. And we wanted to be sure Marlowe saw that item.
That's right. Constable Miller's going back to town, but King and I are going to stay here with you. I feel certain Marlowe will read that item and will come here with his gang to rob you of your take. If and when they do come, they'll be in for a big surprise.
Leaving Sergeant Preston and King at Les Breen's cabin to wait for Marlowe and his gang, Constable Miller returned to Dawson City after promising to return that night. It was late afternoon when he entered the cafe in Dawson to pick up what news he could. As the constable walked to the bar, Bill and Lou, Marlowe's men, were talking to a sourdough.
Are you sure about that, mister?
Yep, I'm sure, all right.
Dawson paper don't usually print things that aren't true.
Can't help that. Les Breen's no more of a chichaco than I am. Why, we worked the claim together nigh under a year and a half ago near Whitehorse. Then 3 months ago, Les staked the claim up on Bonanza. Well, I just got to Dawson City yesterday. I got a surprise when I read that writing about Les in the paper.
Then you don't really believe he really made a strike, is that it?
Nope, I don't. No sourdough like Les Breen is going to tell any newspaper he made a strike before he got his take into town and staked out more land. He'd know that if word got out like that, there'd maybe be a stampede that'd snow him under.
All the land around Claim 42 has already been staked out. So there won't be any stampede up there.
Oh, hello, Constable. I guess you ought to know about that. Seems like I saw you heading up Bonanza Trail this morning with another mountie.
Why, we had business up there.
That sure was a fine dog you had with you. About the finest and biggest I've seen in Yukon. Only man I know has a dog like that is Sergeant Preston. So it must have been him with you, huh?
Well, maybe it was.
Well, I guess we gotta be going. See you later, mister. Come on, Luke.
Yeah.
What do you make of it, Bill?
There's something fishy about the whole thing, seems to me. That sourdough said he saw Preston and his dog going up the Bonanza Trail this morning with the constable. I saw the constable come into town a little while ago alone.
Well?
I figure Preston's still up there, maybe at Breen's place. That stuff in the paper might have been a plan to get Frank and us to go up there.
Hey, that's right. What are you stopping for?
The constable seemed a little upset when he heard that sourdough talking.
Yeah, but what are we leaving the cafe for? Maybe if we hung around a little longer, we'd have heard more.
I don't have to hear any more. Like I said, the constable seemed to be upset. I noticed he looked around at the crowd as if to see if anyone was listening to that old sourdough talking.
Hey, what do you think the constable will do, Bill?
I don't know. We'll wait here and watch for him to come out of the cafe. Then we'll follow him and see what he does.
What about the boss?
There'll still be time enough to tell Frank Marlowe about what we heard later on.
A short time later, Constable Miller left the cafe and walked down the street. Bill's guess had been right. and the constable was worried about what the sourdough had said with so many men around to hear. Miller was experienced enough to know that if one of Marlowe's gang had overheard, he and Sergeant Preston, and perhaps Les Breen and the editor who had helped plan the trap, would meet with plenty of trouble. He glanced back now and then as he walked, but since the main street of Dawson City was fairly crowded with men, he couldn't tell whether he was being followed or not. Finally, he entered the newspaper office.
Hello, Constable. I didn't expect to see you. Something go wrong?
Not actually, but I'm afraid something might go wrong. An old sourdough at the cafe brought out the fact that Les Breen isn't a Chechako, that he's been up here for over a year.
Oh, that's not so good.
That's right, it isn't. Moreover, he brought out the fact that no experienced prospector like Breen would go around talking about a strike before he brought his take into town.
Well, he's right about that.
I know. You'll be on your guard. If anyone comes in questioning you, cover up somehow.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to get my dogs and sled and head out to Breen's cabin to warn Sergeant Preston that Marlowe might be wise to the trap. I'll get along now. But remember to stick to your guns if you're questioned.
Constable Miller left the editor and went to his cabin. Then, with his dog sled, he started out along the Bonanza Trail. He didn't know that two of Marlowe's men, Bill and Lou, followed along behind him.
Mush! Mush, you huskies!
The constable was making good time along the hard-packed trail. As he and his dog team approached a point where a cross trail from Beaver Creek joined the Bonanza Trail, he halted the team for a short rest.
Hold there!
It was at that moment that a shot rang out and Constable Miller fell to the ground, wounded.
Oh, you hit him all right. Got him through the shoulder.
Yeah, that was a good shot if I do say so myself.
Why'd you want to shoot him, Bill? I don't figure it out.
Well, I got to thinking. He told Preston that the old sourdough at the cafe was telling everyone that that story about Claim 42 was phony. Preston might come back to Dawson.
What if he did?
If Preston don't hear about it, he'll stay where he is. That'll give Frank and us a chance to pull a job in Dawson. Especially with both him and the constable out of the way. We'll put the constable on his own sled now and take him over to our cabin. Here, help me lift him.
Sure.
There. Now, let's get going. Mush, you huskies! Mush!
Meanwhile, as the night wore on and Constable Miller didn't return to the cabin at Claim 42, Sergeant Preston became worried.
Miller should have been back here long ago, Les. It's after midnight.
Well,
he said he'd be back early. I think I'll take King and go down the trail away to meet him. I'll leave my dog team here.
Just as you like, Sergeant.
I'll feel better anyway, getting some fresh air. How about it, King? All right, fella. Leave right now and go to meet the constable.
With King running ahead of him, Sergeant Preston set out down the Bonanza Trail. King ran beyond where the cross trail joined the one they were following. Then he stopped, sniffing the ground and barking excitedly.
What is it, King?
Sergeant Preston knew that King was trying to tell him he had found a familiar scent. For a moment, the sergeant was puzzled. Then it came to him.
It must be Constable Miller's scent you picked up, fellow, but I don't understand.
At that moment, Sergeant Preston noticed a dark stain in the snow.
What?
He stood looking down at it for a moment. Then, realizing what it meant, he turned to King.
King, find Constable Miller. Find him, fellow.
The intelligent dog whined and barked as he moved slowly down trail with his nose to the hard-packed snow. Then, turning, he moved back toward where Preston stood waiting. Then, though the constable's scent stopped suddenly at the junction of the two trails, King recognized the strong scent of Roy Miller's dog team. And with a yelp of satisfaction, the great dog started out along the cross trail.
After him, King! After him!
It was well after midnight when Bill and Lou arrived at the cabin where Frank Marlowe and the other member of the gang, Joe, were waiting. Bill called to the dog team to stop.
Hey, you husky!
Yeah, I guess Frank and Joe will be surprised at what we brought with us, Bill. Monty's still unconscious. Help me take him inside.
All right.
You shot me.
Well, what do you know? He's come to. Never mind trying to talk, Constable. We're going to take you inside to Marlowe. You can do your talking to him.
Marlowe? I guessed as much.
Sure. Now, come on. We'll take you in.
Come on. I can walk if you help me a bit.
Never mind. We got you all right.
I can open the door, I think.
There.
Who's that?
Put him on the cot here.
Sure.
Oh. There. Yeah.
That does it.
I said, who's that you brought here?
Glad you're still up, Frank. That's a Mountie, the constable from town.
A Mountie? Why, you fools. Why have you brought him here? What have you done to him?
That ain't good, Frank. And him being the constable of Dawson City, he'll be missed soon.
Take it easy, both of you. Well, you hear what we found out and what I figured out.
Well, we're waiting. Go ahead and tell us.
We found out that claim 42 on Bonanza is owned by an old sourdough. He's had it for about 3 months.
But the paper said it. Chichaco got it 2 weeks ago and just made this
Never strike. Mind what the paper said. That story in the paper was only a plan.
Never mind putting in, Lou. I want an explanation from Pearl. So better talk fast and give it to me straight.
All right. Now, here's what we heard in town. We met an old sourdough from Whitehorse at the cafe in Dawson City. He knew that fellow Les Breen well, and he said that Breen...
Bill told Frank Marlowe all that had been heard at the cafe concerning Les Breen, and the opinion the sourdough had given about the fact that if Breen had made a strike, he wouldn't have told about it. Also, Bill told of the constable coming in and taking part in the conversation. When he mentioned that the constable and Sergeant Preston had gone to Breen's place together, and that the constable was on his way back when they shot him, Frank interrupted.
I want to know why you shot him and brought him here.
Don't you get it, Frank? Like I said, that story was a plan in the paper to get us to go to Claim 42 so they could grab us. I figure with the constable here and Preston and his dog still waiting over there, why, it leaves the way wide open for us to strike somewheres else.
Yes. I see what you mean now, Bill. That was darn good figuring at that.
Look, Frank, as far as I'm concerned, I still think it was a mistake to bring this constable here. That Sergeant Preston isn't anybody's fool.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you don't expect him to wait forever for the constable to get out to that cabin, do you?
Well, once I agree with one of you crooks. Sergeant Preston will wait on me so long, then he'll know that something's happened.
Sure, maybe he will. But then he'll go all the way into Dawson City looking for you. He just won't be able to find you, that's all.
That's what you think. He knew I was to go out to the cabin at Claim 42. Anyway, the newspaper editor will tell him. He knows I left for there. You can't get away with all this. Sooner or later, you'll be caught by Sergeant Preston.
Shut up.
I know he'll find me. I know
it. I told you to shut up.
Cut it out, Bill. You'll get what's coming to him soon enough. Trouble with you is you let his yap and get on your nerves.
What he said about that Mountie, Frank. Suppose Preston does start out hunting for the constable. Like he said, the newspaper editor knows...
We can send somebody to Dawson City to take care of him. Anyway, he's got something coming for helping Preston try to trap us.
It's about time we all got away from here and made good use of what time we have.
What are you going to do about this Mountie?
Plenty. First, Lou, you go outside and unhitch his dogs and then scatter them.
Sure, right away.
Now, Bill, you and Joe tie that Mountie's hands and feet. Then we'll take him out back and toss him under a snowbank. Nature will take care of the rest.
Marlowe.
What do you want?
I'm wounded in the shoulder. I can't harm you now. You do what you say, I'll freeze to death.
That's right, you will. All right, get busy, you two, and tie him up.
All right, Frank. I'll get some rawhide that's hanging on the nail over here.
You'll be sorry for this.
Shut up. Lou's having a time trying to scatter the Mountie's dogs, it seems like, huh?
Yeah, sounds like it.
That'll hold your feet.
I got his hands tied.
Well, get my park on. You two take him out back, like I said. No, wait a minute. I want to go along and be sure he's well covered by the snow. Get your duds on, too, Joe. We'll be going into Dawson after this business is finished.
All right. Wonder what's keeping Lou outside. I'll have those dogs scattered for now.
Yeah, that's right.
Another Mountie.
Let's press him out.
No, you don't.
Oh, my leg.
Rush it, Joe. Quick.
King had been waiting behind Preston for just such an order. With a snarl, the great dog sprang forward and made for Bill, who had grabbed for his gun.
Get him out. He's got me for the arm.
This is the center. King gets him.
Boy, you.
Oh, sorry. Here's another.
That dog. Take him off. Help me.
Down, King. Easy, fella. Watch the boy. Roy, you all right?
They tied me up, Sergeant. I have a shoulder wound. They were going to bury me in the snow.
I'll cut you loose.
Thanks, Sergeant. How'd you get here?
King picked up the trail of your team, Roy.
King? Well, he's a wonderful dog, all right.
They got here just as one of the killers came outside and started to unhitch your dog team. King jumped him. He's tied up out there.
I should have known that dog would mix things up for us.
That's what he did, Marlowe. I arrest you and your gang in the name of the Queen. Thanks to you, King, I can say that the case of the Marlowe gang is closed.
These radio dramas are created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health. So long.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OTRWesterns. And don't forget to rate this episode in iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to OTRWesterns.com/copyright. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good day.